Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to the first quarter earnings conference call of Aditya Birla Fashion and Retail Limited. The call will begin with a brief discussion by the company's management on the Q1 FY24 performance, followed by a question and answer session. We have with us today Mr. Ashish Dikshit, Managing Director, Mr. Jagdish Bajaj, CFO, Mr. Vishak Kumar, Director and CEO, Lifestyle Business, Ms. Sangeeta Pendurkar, Director and CEO, Pantaloons. I want to thank the management team on behalf of all the participants for taking valuable time to be with us. I must remind you that the discussion on today's earnings call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be viewed, therefore, in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. Please restrict your questions to the quarterly performance and to strategic questions only. Housekeeping questions can be dealt with separately with the IR team. With this, I hand the conference over to Mr. Jagdish Bajaj. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks. Good evening and welcome to the Q1 earnings call of our company. Let me start with the highlights of the quarter by setting the context for industry during this period. The consumption slowdown that the discretionary categories started to witness post-festive last year continued during this quarter as well. In such a challenging environment, the business posted growth over last year, driven by performance across our established businesses, aided by new business additions that we made during the last year. It is important to note that amidst these continued challenges in the demand environment, our performance has been driven by rapid and agile responses to the changing market conditions, along with effective execution of our growth strategy through brand building, network expansion, category extensions, and portfolio announcements. Now I will talk about financial performance of our company for this quarter. The company delivered revenue of Rs. 3,196 crores, which reflects a growth of 11% over same quarter last year. Our standalone revenue grew 8% over last year, reaching to Rs. 2,987 crores. The company achieved a consolidated EBITDA of Rs. 353 crores with 11% margin. Our standalone EBITDA margin stood at 14.2%. EBITDA for this quarter was impacted due to subdued sales along with high fixed cost and accelerated marketing investments. Consolidated margin was further lowered by aggressive growth investment in subsidiaries, mainly Tomorrow, which was not in the base last year. The company's consolidated PAT was negative 162 crore. This also included a negative impact of Ind AS 116 on the net profit. Our store network is now over 4,000 stores, spanning across a total retail space of 10.9 million square feet. We have also continued to ramp up our digital capabilities and enhance our omni-channel play. As visible in our e-com performance, where our sales grew 12% YOY, our digital portfolio got augmented with the addition of Tomorrow brands that continue to build value through strategic and operational improvements. I will now take you through the performance of our individual businesses, starting with lifestyle brands. Quarterly revenue for the segment was Rs. 1,594 crore, which is 5% higher than last year. EBITDA stood at Rs. 292 crore, reflecting a growth of 10% YOY. EBITDA margin stood at 18.3%, an expansion of 80 basis points over last year. For the quarter, retail channel remained resilient with 2% growth over last year, while wholesale segment showed a robust growth of 20% YOY, led by growth in trade and departmental store business. We also have reached a significant scale in our women's wear business in Van Heusen and Ellen Solly brands, where the size of the business is upward of Rs. 400 crore on a full year basis. The four lifestyle brands continue to enhance their leadership position in the market through focused and sustained product innovations, new category extensions, which include ambitious bets on non-apparel categories and investments in marketing and brand building. Let me talk now about youth Western fashion brands, which consist of American Eagle and Forever 21. American Eagle witnessed yet another quarter of strong performance with 49% revenue growth over last year, led by strong distribution expansion and attractive product propositions for our customers. The brand added three new stores to the network and is now available at 40 exclusive brand outlets and more than 65 departmental store doors. Forever 21 continues to work on improving its operating KPIs and scaling its network through asset-light expansion. Now about Reebok. fully integrated with ABFRL now, Reebok is off to an encouraging start this year with quarterly revenue showing a growth of 43% over last year. This has been achieved at the back of 11% L2L, aided by an aggressive footprint expansion of 10 new stores this quarter, along with strengthening its departmental store collaborations and marketplace partnerships. We are confident that Reebok would be another large and profitable addition to the repertoire of four brands within the lifestyle brands portfolio. Moving on to the Pantaloons business, I would like to recap how post-festive last year, as the discretionary consumption slowed down, we observed the first sign of slowdown in the value part of the market, mainly in the lower tier town. The impact still continues this quarter as well, impacting the performance of Pantaloons. Pantaloons recorded quarterly sales of rupees 1030 crore with an EBITDA margin of 13.4%. This quarter's margin was affected by lower sales in the difficult market conditions, which created an adverse operating leverage on a large network of stores. We expect the margins to improve as the market recovers. The network expansion journey for Pantaloons continued with three new stores added during this quarter, ending with a total of 434 stores. Pantaloons continued to expand its private label portfolio with new launches, filling distinct spaces. Further, our value brand Style Up continued to expand its network with five new stores opened during this quarter. Let me now speak about Innerwear business performance. The business in Q1 FY24 posted a retail L2L of 3% despite slowdown in outerwear segment. During the quarter, brand strengthened its reach to exit with 32,700 trade outlets. The Collective and other super premium brands witnessed a sharp growth of 16% with 16% L2L growth over last year's same quarter. Ethnic businesses this quarter achieved a revenue of Rs. 134 crore and has grown 33% year-on-year. Businesses continued to invest in brand building initiatives and new store openings with net additions of 12 stores during the quarter, which led to margin getting impacted for this quarter. Sabyasachi grew 18% YOY led by strong performance in jewelry and accessories segment. The new Mumbai store launched in April is witnessing good consumer traction. Staying committed to its ambitious expansion strategy, our men's premium ethnic wear brand Taswa is now available in 58 stores across more than 30 cities. Jaipur continues to expand its store network with additions of 2 stores during the quarter and now has presence in 20 stores. Shantanu and Nikhil posted growth of 20% over last year's same quarter, with Bliss revenue growing to 1.6 times over last year. The portfolio is now well balanced between Couture and Bliss. House of Masaba added 3 stores to the network and posted 32% revenue growth over last year. By capitalizing on the strength of our robust performance brand and their diverse category extensions, our ethnic wear portfolio is poised for accelerated expansion. Let me update you on the TCNS transactions. As you already know, ABFRL board has approved the acquisition of 51% stake in TCNS Clothing Company Limited through combination of share purchase agreement with founder promoters and a conditional public offer. The proposed acquisition is on track and under progress. The company has received requisite approval from the regulatory authorities and is in the process of commencing the open offer. To conclude, despite challenges in near term, we expect the market to rebound in second half of the year following the festive period. As the industry recovers, we remain committed towards expansion of our retail network, strengthening our brands, leveraging our strong consumer base, and delivering our value proposition. Thank you, and we are open to questions now.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nihal Mahesh Sham from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening to the management. So the first question was on Madura. Despite the negative LTL, the margins have improved. So is that maybe a moderation in the sales and marketing or anything to do with the channel mix? Just to clarify.
Hi, Nihal. Largely driven by cost reduction initiatives. We knew that it's going to be less number of wedding dates, quarter, etc. So there was a lot of, preparation on cost reduction. So that is primarily why the margins have been strong.
And that is mainly the sales and marketing or overall a mix of everything?
No, actually, on advertising, we spent pretty much in line with our normal quarter trends. So it was on other expenses that we were able to tighten.
Understood. My second question was on the PCNS acquisition, not related to the quarter, was that from May, obviously, a decent amount of time has passed. And I think TCNS also reported a bit of a muted performance in Q4. While a quarter is not a reflection, but just wanted to understand incrementally any further comments on how we plan to turn this brand around in terms of the growth. It would be helpful if you could just comment on that.
Yeah, this is probably a bit premature for us to talk about it. Let's let the process complete. We of course have our thoughts around it, and that's why we have moved forward with this acquisition, but too early for us to comment on it.
Sure, Ashish. Final question was, if you could give the debt number and also the expected losses both from Tomorrow and the Reebok business for this year, and I'll come back in the queue after that.
So Reebok, we don't expect any losses. Reebok is a profitable business on a full year basis. On
Ashish, debt on 30th June net of cash is 2,100 crore.
So this net debt was 2,100 crores. Sure.
Yeah.
As on 30th June.
Okay. And the losses from the Tomorrow business for this whole year?
For full year base, it probably will be in the range of 80 to 100 crores.
Sure, Ashish. I have a few more. I'll just come back. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varun Singh from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Sir, my first question is on Pantaloons. Given 17% retail expansion is very healthy, but still 1% revenue growth and 8% SSD, I understand that, the discretionary slowdown impacting the business, early USS, etc. But still, given we have cut down on our store addition guidance also in previous quarters, sir, you wish to share anything with regards to, you think there is a need to change our overall approach towards the business with regards to private label, etc., which is now currently 65% in the store? Anything you wish to share over there, sir, given several quarters of underperformance in Pantaloons compared to peers?
I'll just get Sangeeta to respond to that.
Yeah, hi Varun. So if you see our performance, and if I just take you back a few years in terms of how we've looked at the Pantaloons strategy, while this quarter and the last two quarters have been a bit of an aberration with the economic slowdown, you heard Jagdish talk about it, and I think the industry is faced with the same issues. Overall, when we looked at our private label strategy and the overall strategy a few years back, we had seen a significant improvement in terms of our performance, our private label strategy in terms of strengthening our private label, improving the price value equation, launching new categories, putting in new labels to occupy the white spaces that existed in our portfolio. In 1920, if you recall, we had done a lot of those actions, and they yielded some really good results. In fact, if you see our margin in FY20, keeping the COVID years aside, even in FY23, the first 9 months, our margins were very good margins. I think it's post-Diwali, November, December, that we've started seeing a slowdown. I think we feel very confident of our strategy and our proposition. Private label portfolio continues to improve significantly. I think we hear that feedback from consumers all the time. Equally, in terms of improving our store experience, the fact that we put in a new retail identity, new branding, we see those stores performing relatively better compared to the rest of the stores in the network. So I think in terms of our strategy, be it private label or overall Pantaloons strategy, we stay pretty confident and sanguine. I think these last two quarters are more mired with the fact that there were two aspects that are really the cause for this. One is the general macroeconomic slowdown, and two, you also saw some yarn price increases, which impacted again the entire industry during 21 and 22. With the yarn prices settling down, we've had a chance to correct the prices of our private label, and that gives us even more confidence that our price value equation, if anything, will be better in the quarters to come. So we should look at these two quarters differently. If you look at our performance in the first 9 months of last year, our margins have been very strong. These two quarters, because of the reasons I explained, our growth and therefore our margins have got impacted.
Understood. I mean, more than the worry on margin, revenue, higher revenue growth should be aiding towards kind of more excitement. But having said that, I understand price value equation that you talked about, and I'm more than hopeful that that should work. And my second question is, again, in Pantaloons, the total number of stores that we have, around 434, what percentage of stores will be more than 3 to 4 year old?
What percentage?
So if you look at it, we'll give you the exact number, but if you look at it, last year we added net of about 55 stores. And in the prior 2 years, because there was COVID period, we would have added effectively maybe 30 stores a year kind of number.
Right.
So
2 parts.
Okay.
Yeah. So about 2 thirds.
So in last, our network was... how many stores did you have? Okay. So in last 3 years, we have added 120 stores.
Yes.
Okay, got it. And sir, just a last question, that in ethnic wear business, even though revenue growth looks very much healthy, but the losses have mounted significantly. So if you wish to talk about how should we expect this number to pan out on a steady state basis, if you can give some understanding on that front, that's it from my side.
Okay, so in ethnic wear businesses, this quarter was particularly compounded by the fact that the wedding dates were fewer. And as you know, a large part of ethnic wear business, not the regular ethnic wear, but most of the designer ethnic wear, including Taswa, which is a recently launched concept, is largely related to wedding dates and wedding consumption. So that period has seen very few wedding days last quarter, and that has affected the performance of ethnic wear. This quarter, it was also compounded by a big launch that we did, where Sabyasachi's largest store in India in Mumbai was launched, and there was therefore one-time large marketing investment to promote the launch of the brand in the store. So these two were of slightly exceptional nature. I think going forward, Taswa is the only one business which will require loss funding for first few years. Rest of our businesses are profitable in the ethnic wear portfolio on a full year basis as they play out.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Jogani from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So my first question also remains with regards to the Pantaloons business. So, you know, while we agree that, you know, the last few quarters has been challenging in terms of the overall demand, but, you know, at the same time, we have been...
Can you speak up a little? Your voice is breaking. Can you speak up?
Sorry, is this better?
Yes, much better now.
Yeah. So, my question is with regards to Pantaloons again. I mean, I do understand the fact that, you know, Pantaloons has been impacted because of the slowdown that we are seeing over the past three quarters. The only question here is with regards to the margins, you know, like what we have done for Madura, you know, we have been able to save costs there. So are there any initiatives or strategies that we are, you know, implementing to at least control the cost in the interim till the demand kind of pick up?
So if you see the performance over the quarters, I mean, Q4 was similarly affected by similar phenomena, and our margin had fallen quite dramatically. We have taken sufficient measures, and therefore the improvement in margin from Q1 over Q4 reflects large part is the cost saving that the cost-related efforts have done. But I would also call out and say Pantaloons is a larger fixed cost business, rental being a pure retailer, rental being a very large cost in running store operations. And therefore, there's limitation on to what extent can those costs be brought down. But efforts are on, and as you can see in the shift of expenses
of profitability between these two quarters itself.
Yeah, sure, sir. Sir, also in the event, you know, when we are seeing this overall slowdown in the overall apparel consumption, and we are, you know, kind of continuously adding stores as well at the same time. So is there any thought, you know, given the fact that our debt is already at around 2.1 billion right now, net debt, that is, so maybe we can go down slower on store expansion bit in the interim, and maybe once, you know, the situation gets better and the business starts, you know, contributing profitably again, maybe then we can expand the store again. So any thoughts on that front?
So we have two kinds of expansion models. One is our own capital and second is franchisee led. As you know, many of our established brands are able to get a lot of franchisees to invest in that, and that's been a primary driver of growth. So that part of the business is not really constrained by that. In fact, that has been practically free from capital related issues as far as growth is concerned. There is a part of the business, the new brands that we are launching, Pantaloons, about 70-75% to 80% of stores, which are largely capital led. And there we'll moderate as we go along. We had indicated our Pantaloons expansion, which was 60 stores last year. We've talked about 35-40 stores. To that extent, some of it's factored in. But remember, store expansions are long-term projects. Typically, a store lease itself is 9 to 10 years, in many cases 12 to 15 years. So we don't want to also alter that dramatically for one quarter here and there. So our larger strategy is built around the thesis of consumption in this country, our ability to build strong brand, our understanding of apparel supply chain and ecosystem, and ability to build large capital efficient models within the business itself. We are of course going through a phase of rapid investment through portfolio expansion, acquisition of new brands, which we've done in the last 3-4 years. So we acknowledge the stretch on the balance sheet. But I think as far as operating businesses are concerned, we see the large runway. We'll continue to grow them through this period. Wherever there's slight moderation required, like this year, we are doing that already.
Sure, sir. Thanks for the detailed answer. And just one last bit on the ethnics piece from my end. Sir, how would you rate your performance so far in the Tasva piece? Do you feel, you know, the business model is now perfected and, you know, we can now expand it very rapidly, as you know, we have been doing 7-8 stores a year? Or still, you know, the template isn't still fine-tuned, and maybe we can go a bit slower on the expansion, first get the template right and maybe then grow aggressively thereon?
So as we had said from the time we have launched last year, we added close to 50-odd stores. We expect to add another 40 stores this year roughly. And I think as far as the performance of the business is concerned, we'll have to see one good festive period. There's a lot of learning as we are expanding and experiencing. There is a great amount of consumer feedback. We are learning from that, we're constantly improving that. But I think by the end of this year, then we would have seen a one full wedding period, which is likely to start in second half of this year, and have had a reasonably large sort of geography through which we have experienced it. We will decide how to moderate that pace or increase that pace. But at this point of time, a plan to open a 40 stores is what we have said at the beginning of the year, and we are sticking to that.
Thank you, sir. That's all from me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir, and thanks for taking my question. I also have a question on Pantaloons, but this is slightly a longish and more of a strategic question. Now, since acquisition, we have definitely scaled up this brand, improved return metrics, but so far we've not really seen a good year of LFL growth performance. If I look at sales per square feet metric, right now it is trending below 8,000, and for a value fashion brand with lower gross margin, I mean, this probably is among the lowest when you compare it with other value fashion retailers. So any thoughts here? I mean, in the current context, there has been only increased competition, the likes of Reliance and Zudio, even Shoppers Stop is now entering. So what is your take? How do you look at, you know, improving the sales throughput metric here, if that is a KPI that you look at all?
We look at many KPIs, and I think you've mentioned some of them.
But I think you will be missing the bigger picture if you don't look at the ones that matter. The ones that matter are return on capital and EBITDA margin. When we took over this business, as I said, over long period of time, not short period, long period of time, we consistently improved margin, got to 17-18% EBITDA margin before COVID. 2019 9-month margin was 17.5%. Even last year, 9-month margin was 17.5%. As Sangeeta explained, last two quarters have been sort of slightly affected. And we have achieved all this on a very low capital employed base. Our overall capital employed in a 4,000 plus crore business is between 400 to 500 crores. So it remains a very strong business in terms of returning capital in good times. Of course, unfortunately, both during the COVID period and subsequently in the last two quarters, the markets haven't been very supportive at this end of the market, and that's reflected in our last two quarter performance. But I would call out, our H1 performance last year was about 18% EBITDA margin. We run this 4,500 crore business at 500 crores of total capital employed. So I think it's a fairly good, attractive proposition. As we come out, you will see currently we're experiencing negative operating leverage in times like this. The same situation reverses when markets pick up, and we expect the second half of the year to reflect that.
Just a follow-up, sir, here. So when I look at improvement in return profile over the years, has the low LFL growth, been an output of that strategy where we have let go of formats or let go of some loss-making, higher debt stock kind of problems? And it's a reflection of that, or LFL growth, among the three pieces, LFL growth is one piece that we haven't delivered and rest two we have delivered, so it's okay.
So I think I would again say focus on what truly matters. In a country like India where there is a constantly shifting retail landscape, you're building new store, markets are shifting from one place to another, sometimes old stores are very profitable and yet you need to shift trajectory. In a business format like Pantaloons, where there is large number of sort of 15, 20 years of store addition that has happened, there is always a pressure on some markets which are evolving into new markets. Therefore, LFL sometimes truly doesn't capture the overall picture. Also, the sales productivity number that you called out is primarily as a function of geography that you operate in. So we don't look at sales productivity as a common average across industry. We look at sales productivity in the relative market that we operate and what are the competitive sales productivity in those markets. And all these therefore becomes very nuanced sort of numbers, and therefore the primary thing, which is EBITDA margin, capital employed, return on capital employed, are primary drivers as far as we are concerned. Intermediate metrics sometimes may tend to sort of give pictures which is not clear.
Got it, sir. Very helpful. I'll move on to the next question. So I'm looking at this other businesses in Madura, and basically this is Collective, American Eagle, Forever 21, and the innerwear athleisure business. Apart from Reebok, there is not a recently acquired portfolio here, and Collective this quarter has also done well. So I was just wondering why this portfolio should be a loss-making portfolio even at post-Ind AS EBITDA level.
So innerwear and F21 are two businesses which, for different reasons, but just to mathematically complete that story, are the two businesses which are not profitable for the quarter, and that's really why that number is showing there.
But sir, we have been running these businesses like for 6-7 years now. I mean, haven't these reached a scale where we still investing, but they should at least give us some return on money, or no, we have not reached a stage at this point?
No, I think we are still further away from, as far as innerwear is concerned, in terms of profitability. But I would also say this is one quarter, but even on a full year basis, we haven't come to that stage. Forever 21, again, is a business where we haven't really got to a point of stage. We are not investing in terms of growing that business. And a large part of that business is also affected by the value end of the market. But these two are the businesses which are actually pulling down the margins in that segment.
and the rest of the portfolio is not enough to lift the overall margins of the segment? Because collective, I mean,
Reebok is just started, so Reebok is just sort of break even stage at this point of time. We expect it to become profitable going forward and on a full year basis most definitely. So collective is the one which has to carry the weight of this, which is not sufficient for this quarter.
Got it, sir. I'll come back in the queue for any follow-ups. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Ashish Kanodia from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So the first question is, you know, when you talk about the consumption slowdown, and given that you have presence across price points and across brands, is there a difference in demand momentum at say a higher price point versus say a lower price point? I mean, it's partly reflective in Pantaloons like for like number, but even within Pantaloons or within your Madura brands, do you see a difference in demand momentum where the premium end continues to do well, where and maybe the lower price points are struggling a bit more?
Ashish, yes, the difference exists, but if I were to go back 2 quarters back, we were quite clear that the premium end of the market, and if we look at a longer trajectory over the last 12-18 months, the premium market was almost resilient to the point of not being affected at all by the economic situation around. I would say that to some extent has somewhat changed. There is challenge as far as value segment is concerned, which continues and has actually deepened in the last couple of quarters. The premium end also is not fully insulated from it, but a large part of that reason is also linked to the wedding dates during this period. And a lot of premium clothing, at least for us, both in ethnic wear business and in lifestyle brands, is linked to wedding dates, and that's why to that extent you find muted growth even in lifestyle segment, which otherwise would have been much higher. And to that extent, I think there is a difference across this. The really high end of the business obviously is less affected, the businesses like Collective. But then I would say even the designer businesses, which are more wedding related, have seen the pressure as far as this quarter is concerned. So weddings primarily affecting the premium end of the market, while overall economic slowdown has affected the wider market, which is the mid-market and below.
Sure. And second bit on the lifestyle brand, anything which has changed in the wholesale part of the business, because that seems to have suddenly picked up. So any change in that part of the business?
I think the business has continued to grow. Two, three factors, Ashish, which come in. One is that, last year base, the recovery was a little less so in our business with department stores. So this is on that base, so that growth is strong. To some extent, Centro is coming back into the business. That is again helping us in our overall numbers. Plus, some of the space additions that we've done in various department stores have also contributed to that growth. So that's broadly the story there.
Sure. And just last bit, in terms of, you have talked about tomorrow's plan where, you will look at some external funding. So, I mean, there are news flow, that tomorrow may be looking to acquire another D2C brand. So just purely on the fundraise part, right? I mean, are you looking at any external fundraise happening maybe this year in the tomorrow entity?
So I think difficult to predict with great sense of timing. We have committed a certain amount in investment to tomorrow. About half of that is what tomorrow has consumed so far in the brands that they have acquired. They continue to pursue opportunity in that sense, and we will look at maybe towards the end of the year or somewhere around that for a fundraise. But it's difficult to predict with any degree of certainty about the timing for that. But it's definitely something on our agenda as we go forward.
Sure. Thank you so much. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devanshu Bansal from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. For Innerwear, our checks are suggesting that brands say...
We can't hear you clearly. Can you try and get closer to the...
Is it better now, sir? Hello?
Okay, we'll try. Go ahead.
Yeah, so for Innerwear, our checks are suggesting that Van Hussein has taken some price cuts as well as the retailer incentives are also relatively higher versus prior periods. So wanted to understand what's the strategy going on here since we are also making losses.
So I think price cuts and price increases are part of adjustments that will always be going on. I think last year around this time, you know, there's a price increase across all categories. Most major players had to take price increases that has affected demand at the premium end of the market, and therefore there is suitable price adjustment that's happening. As far as the
I said incentives are also higher. Retailer level incentives have also been higher.
Keeps changing month on month. I don't see that's dramatically different. But as a large player in the premium market, we are the only other player other than the market leader, which is more than 500 crores of sales at the premium end of the market. And remember, we are even more premium on an average than any other player in the segment. There is obviously going to be competitive pressures, and to which we'll respond at various points of time. So that's more a monthly, quarterly adjustments that will keep going on. I don't think there's anything structural about it.
And on the inventory position here, sir, everything is in under control. I just wanted to check if that is driving such level of incentives.
So there has been, as you might know if you have spent time, that Innerwear business consists of both Innerwear as well as athleisure part of the business. Athleisure part of the business, after years of almost two and a half years of rapid growth, a lot of consumption, work from home environment, is beginning to show slowdown in last two or three quarters, and that's where there is a little bit of excess inventory. Innerwear is a more evergreen product, and therefore that's not a matter of concern. So whatever that would happen is perhaps related more to work from home categories, which is largely athleisure.
Got it, sir. And secondly, you mentioned about price corrections in pantaloons as well. So just wanted to check, will SSG be flat in this format, or you are expecting growth in volumes to help drive positive SSG?
I don't think these price corrections are so large that they will bring down the average price. These are opportunities to complete the range in some of the gaps that we felt there. There is no wholesale price reduction, if that's what you were referring to. There may have been marginal cases of price gaps, which is what Sunita was referring to. I don't think it would have material impact on this issue.
Got it, Mr. Dixit. Thanks for taking the question.
Thank you. The next question is from Alok Shah from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for giving this opportunity. My first question is on the Reebok. So if I heard you right, you said that it's at the break-even scale currently and should be profitable by year-end. So just wanted to check, what are the growth plans over here and what will be targets in terms of store openings, etc.?
So hi, Alok. So yes, you're right. First things first, it's a profitable business for us for this year. There are multiple growth levers. At first level, there is a distribution expansion itself, both in multi-brand as well as exclusive stores. So we have a fairly large pipeline for retail expansion. So that should fuel one kind of growth. Second is a whole lot of initiatives to drive throughput in existing stores, use of better technology to improve replenishments, assortment planning, etc. to drive growth. The third is many new products, introduction of new product categories, etc., which will get into the stores in the next few months. That again should propel a lot of growth. And of course, a lot of leveraging of our strengths in apparel, to be able to drive further on the apparel sales in the sportswear side of business. So Alok, all in all, many levers for growth which will unfold over the next few years, but you know, a lot of momentum this year itself to be able to drive profitable growth.
Got it. But what will be the current store count and what will be the target by the year end?
We have about 120 stores, 125, 120 odd stores. So, and that's going strong. So my sense is, you know, we'll be able to add 15 to 20 stores every quarter. So that's the kind of momentum we should have in the network. So if all goes well, maybe 200 stores by an year-end exit. If not, maybe 170, 180 stores.
And this would be COCO stores? Or
it's a combination. We have a lot of partnered stores. We also take COCO stores where required. So it's a combination because there's a lot of franchisee interest in this brand to scale up. A lot of partners that we have who want to diversify to sportswear also. A lot of existing Reebok franchisees who want to put up more stores. It's a combination of FOFO and COCO.
Got it. Perfect. And there's some new subsidiary that is proposed to be incorporated. Just wanted to check what would be this for and what would be the capital allocation for this business?
So this is a new company that we have incorporated. This is for a partnership with one of the luxury brands called Christian Louboutin. We are initially putting 5 crores of capital at this point of time.
Okay, and this can potentially go up as you think about expanding?
No, this is not really for growth. This is a part of a broader partnership for the Gallery Lafayette project that's coming up. So I don't expect this to be significant in our scheme of things.
Got it, perfect.
Capital point of view.
Got it. Thank you. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Jain from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, sir, for the opportunity. So number one, with respect to Tasva, so can you broadly outline as to like what are the investments that, or what is the kind of capex that is required to put up one new store, and what are the targets for FY24 in terms of stores addition for Tasva?
As I mentioned, we are talking about 40 stores for this year, and typically it depends on the size of the store, but anything between 75 lakhs to a crore is really the investment in a Tasva store.
This includes working capital as well?
No, this is CapEx.
This is pure CapEx. Okay. And then secondly, with respect to the debt number that you quoted initially, can you like broadly, of course, we do understand that there has been some weak conditions as well as scaling up of the new businesses. But can you like broadly allocate what was the broader segments where this the difference between quarter on quarter improvement of the debt was allocated to?
So debt number, which you're saying the opening debt for the quarter?
Quarter and the ending debt of the quarter. Broadly, where was that utilized broadly in our segments?
So a part of it, the difference is we started the year with about 1420 or something, and a quarter end debt is about 2000 crores. A part of it has gone into capex, a small part in working capital, and to some extent the losses for the quarter.
Correct. And sir, as a follow-up to that, any number that we are working up with for towards the end of the year, FY24, for the debt?
So Jagdish had mentioned in the previous call, for the full year we had talked about 2,800 crore kind of number is the closing debt. This is after considering the payments towards 51% stake for TCNS.
Correct. And sir, if I missed it, sir, the tomorrow investments are done, or is it like yet to be completed? Some part of it was left, right?
So yeah, last year, as I was mentioning in the previous response, we had made half of the investments. The entire investment is factored in the closing debt number that I was talking about.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir, for answering. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshat from Flute Aura. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So my question is on the depreciation side, as it has increased significantly on year-on-year basis and also sequentially. So can you please guide as to how this depreciation will be going forward and why it has increased so much?
See, depreciation is a function of new store additions and capitalization and the impact of Ind AS stores, because, you know, I have to treat them as my own store. That is the reason, you know, the depreciation has gone up, and it will continue to be in this range or rather increase if you see from last few years. So because of the store additions plan and the early, you know, treating them in the first half of life of the stores, like out of 5 years, the first half will be heavy on depreciation and then it will be amortized on the straight line.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from Varun Singh from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Sir, just two questions. First is, what would be number of store closures in Pantaloons over the last 3 years, 3 to 5 years?
So yeah, we'll just get back to you. You can move to the next question.
Sure, sir. So my second question is, I just wanted to know that what would be the size of innerwear segment for us, if you want to share that.
No, we had shared in the previous calls. We don't give separate numbers, but we had since I had said that, it's about 500 crores last year.
Okay, understood. Okay, sir. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one. The next question is from Palak Shah from ITI Alternates Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Ashish, thank you for taking my question. Just one, when you were indicating a 2800 odd crores of net debt by the end of 24, are you including the 1400 odd crores to be received from GIC?
Yes, I should have clarified, yes.
God, that's the one for me. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder once again to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from the line of Ankit Kedia from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
So when are we looking at break even in the innerwear space and in the pure Tasva ethnic space?
So Tasva is a very early stage. We think FY 26, 27 is the likely period in which we'll break even. As far as innerwear is concerned, right now the slowdown in the athleisure segment has extended it. We should look at either towards the end of next year or early year after that.
And the losses are probably in the marketing spend and in the fixed cost, or also you are looking at a gross margin expansion from a break-even perspective in the innerwear space?
So in innerwear, there would definitely be a gross margin expansion play also possible. As I mentioned to in response to previous question, our innerwear gross margin shrunk in the previous year, primarily due to high raw material prices. And to that extent, those margins will come back as we go forward. And therefore, it will be a combination of margin expansion as well as leverage over fixed costs.
And, so in FY25 and early FY26, the size of the innerwear business, including athleisure, should be around 750-800 crores when the break-even should happen. Is that a good assumption?
Yes, that's a fair.
And in Tasva, you know, when we had done the tie-up with Tarun, we had guided for 300 store opening in the first 3 years. Are we sticking to that guidance, or do you think the current environment where we are in, that could stretch a bit?
No, I am not sure we would have set 300 stores for 3 years. We had set 300 stores for 5 years. Opened 50-odd stores, so we'll be 100 at the end of full second year. But yes, as we go along, we are also refining the store format. We are learning from our experiences, improving product proposition, finding out missing categories and price points. So we'll keep learning as we go along. Difficult for me to give a revised number, but as we go along, we'll keep letting you know how we are progressing and what's our expansion plan. This year, we are talking about 40 stores.
Sure. That's helpful, John. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from Tejas Shah from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sorry, I logged in a bit late, so I'm not sure if this question was asked before. But just wanted to get your sense on the current demand environment that we have seen across on discretionary consumption side. And based on the data or cycles that you would have seen, how soon you think we can come out of this, A, and B, looking at this situation that we are in today, do you think that you will go slow on expansion that you had guided for this year and would like to calibrate or recalibrate it in terms of to push it a bit of next year or perhaps later?
So, Tejas, two parts to the question. When do we expect the demand to recover? I think definitely not before the festival period. The extent of recovery after that will be both a function of, because this time, as you know, the festivals have also got pushed a little bit later into the year. So, they're about 20, 30 days later than their previous year's same period. So, to that extent, it will look even further than what it was otherwise. A lot of wedding dates have also got shifted towards the second half of the year. So that's another piece that actually is an important piece for our premium brands as well as increasingly the larger ethnic portfolio. So these two, from our portfolio point of view, are the important drivers and triggers. And I don't expect them to significantly shift before the festive period. Your second question on expansion, I think I had indicated earlier that this is something that we had started to see from Q4 last year, and therefore we had started to sort of moderate and factor in some of the situations. We had talked about Pantaloons expansion, which was last year at about 60 odd stores. 63 new stores is what we had opened last year. And we had indicated 35, 40, 40 stores. So that reflects the kind of moderation that we're doing in parts of the businesses where we think we need it. In the parts where capital, which are not related to the capital, which are largely franchisee-led, we will continue to grow, but obviously that will also be reflective of the demand as we go forward, because a lot of it is franchisees putting the capital, and they're also cautious. We are also cautious during that period. Overall, however, I would say that we are on a long-term growth trajectory. Our entire thesis over the last few years has been making investments, getting into new categories, building brands both organically and inorganically. Many of these, especially in ethnic wear, Reebok, which Vishak talked about, are in very early stages of what is possible, and we don't want to let go of that portfolio opportunity expansion that we have. We now have a fairly full sort of plate as far as that is concerned, and it needs to be fed to the extent that we get the full potential out of them. So you won't see a significant seesaw. We'll continue to expand. We'll continue to invest in our business. Moderation from time to time is all that we look at.
Sure. It's the last question on Style Up. Is it still in experimental stage, or you believe that the proof of concept at store level is now established and you would like to ramp it up that as well?
Yeah, I'll get Sangeeta.
Hi, Tejas. So Style Up, as we had mentioned before, is a new proposition in the value segment. While Pantaloons will play in the mid-market segment, Style Up is fairly and squarely for the value proposition. We, as of today, have about 15-16 stores. We have created this proposition in a completely new manner with, great merchandise at great value, a very nice retail environment delivered through a very good retail identity, small compact stores,
And we've seen initially good traction on these stores. While it's still early days, we've been in the market for about 7-8 months now. But it gives us great confidence, and I think as we establish the proof of concept in the next few months, we'll certainly come back and take a look at how soon we can scale up the business.
We had, Tejas, I think 5 to 7 stores of this concept when we started the year. We would, at the current rate of opening, we'll get to about
30-35
stores by the end.
By the end of the year.
And it's we're feeling quite confident about how it is doing. Still, we'll have to see over a larger network on how the overall performance is.
Sure. And the last one, if I may, now with the kind of diverse and deep portfolio that we have, how are we managing the human capital part? Because retail relatively, it's actually younger industry from Indian perspective. So are we kind of creating our own, like promoting our own talent pool, or we are actually kind of going outside our industry and attracting talent to kind of come in the space?
Tejas, as you know, we have discussed in past also, a wide portfolio play requires three things: capital, talent, and ability to execute differential business models for different segments. We have looked at all three, and therefore a lot of our actions over the last 2, 3, 4 years have been built around it: strengthening balance sheet, raising capital in line with our vision on one side. If you look at our talent, for a long period of time, our company has been, and as a part of being part of a large group like Aditya Birla Group, we get to attract and retain the best talent in the industry. Wherever we need unique talent and specialized talent, you should see, I mean, a part of our partnership with designers is really to harvest the experience and the talent that they bring, which is unique and very different to build ourselves. Wherever we think the talent can be built internally, we are doing it, and we are very proud of the talent that we have built over a period of time. Most of managers are leaders over the last 10-15 years have risen from inside, and that's something that we will continue to invest in. But wherever unique capabilities are required, we are very open, and we go and attract the best talent required for that. And we continue to, you know, we are run our businesses in a very decentralized manner, which brings both unique talents and unique business models required for each of the businesses. And we'll continue to look for. So it will have to be a combination of homegrown talent as well as bringing and infusing experience wherever required.
Okay. That's all from my side, and best wishes for coming quarter.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. That was the last question. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the management, we thank all the participants for joining us. In case of any further queries, you may please get in touch with Mr. Amit Dwivedi. Thank you, and you may now disconnect your lines.